SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network, off and running together another hour on this Friday here as we get ready to turn the page on January. Tomorrow, of course, February 1st. And boy, we are just a little over a week away from one final NFL game. We'll have much to talk about on that game coming up as the Eagles and the Chiefs get ready to do battle. We got over 140 college hoops games coming up tomorrow. Great rivalry games as we start the month of February. And of course, we're out in Pebble Beach this weekend with the PGA Tour's biggest names. And boy, it's getting pretty good. We're seeing some pretty good golf, and we've got some weather on the way in Pebble Beach. So it is that time of the show, folks. We welcome in our good friend, Mr. Golf himself, Brady Cannon, in the house here. And Brady, we weren't sure what we were going to get today with the wind and the rain. We weren't quite sure if it would affect guys, but we've got a 14 under with Sepp Straka leading the tournament right now. Back-to-back 65s. Couple of guys at 11, couple of guys at 10 and 9. There's a whole lot of big names still within about four or five strokes of the lead here.
No, you're exactly right, Joe. 30 guys. And I think that 14 is a little bit inflated. I kind of think the real lead here is 12. I think the number you want to be chasing right now is 12. I mean, for Straka to shoot 65 on back-to-back days is really impressive and probably playing a little bit above his head right now. 100 of his last golf holes played on the PGA Tour, 40 of them he's made birdie. That's pretty incredible. 40% birdie rate. So, I mean, it's got to slip here for a minute. And you talk about the weather coming in. We're supposed to have anywhere from 10 to 20 mile an hour winds in the Pebble Beach area on Saturday. Gusts up to 25 plus. No more Spyglass Hill. It's all pebble from here on out on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, outside of Straka, if you go back to 11 under par, you've got 30 guys. That's almost half the field. 30 guys between 7 under and 11 under. So, yeah, with the weather and the log jam at the top, we've got a lot of golf left here.
A ton of golf. Now, you know, one name that I saw today and I'm kicking myself going, why? How did I not remember Tony Finau? Because he was at a pretty big number to begin with as well. You know, he certainly, you know, horses for courses here. Very familiar there. What is he? 67. Very steady in a top five, top six spot here heading into the weekend. Where do you go from here? Obviously, Scottie Scheffler a little bit further down, but there's Rory hanging out. So how do you approach Saturday and Sunday here if you haven't jumped in already in this tournament?
Yeah, from a betting perspective, I'm not sure I want to dive in on any of the guys at 7 under. I'd probably start at 8 where you find Rory. I think Scotty's at 7, but I think he's only 12 to 1. He's like the second favorite. You know, you've got Sepp Straka a little less than 3 to 1, and Scheffler, 7 shots off that lead, is, I think, the second choice, or actually, he's about the third or fourth choice, but about 12 to 1. Just too short for me with that, you know, being that far back. I'd probably look at the 8s. You've got Rory in there. You've got Patrick Cantlay lurking, who's playing very, very well. And you know the formula here, Joe. Cantlay is striking the ball extremely well, but he can't make a putt. So if his putter turns around, and he's typically a very good putter on Poana, if his putter turns around, I think he's a real factor here. And the wind is supposed to blow. Tony Finau, who you mentioned, has traditionally been a very good wind player. He's had very good British Open success. You know, he hails from Utah, where you certainly get some winds ripping around in that part of the country. So I think he'll be able to manage the wind. The problem I have with Finau is he's kind of been relying on the putter. Two straight days he's been putting lights out, and that's bound to escape him over the course of 4 days. So you don't know if he can really sustain what he's doing right now. I think Cam Davis is pretty live at 16-1. Guy's playing really well and doing everything well. He's 13th in this field on approach, 5th in greens in regulation, and he hasn't even been putting well. He's 44th. He's middle of the pack with the putter. So if his putter all of a sudden heats up for a day and a half or so, he's going to be in the thick of it. I think Tom Kim is a guy to take a look at. I'm actually on Tom Kim pre-tournament. Been really good off the tee, great scrambler, great with the putter, and not so good on approach, but that's really the strength of his game. So if the strength of his game shows up, he ought to be there. Victor Hovland, another guy you know I'm on pre-tournament, has been kind of a surprise. His game's really been in the tank, but you know he's done very well, and the stats are solid. You can find him at 22-1. So Davis, Tom Kim, and Victor Hovland and Patrick Cantlay, I think might be four guys that I would take a look at right now. And maybe you play them for finish positions too, like a top 10 or something like that. Obviously, you're not going to get the price, but you know, I think these guys have a very good chance of finishing top 10, if not even better.
So I'm laughing as I'm looking today at the leaderboard. Another guy that shoots 65 is the same guy that threw up all over himself at the Farmers last week. To your boy, Harris English. And here's Novak, who shoots 65. Oh, yeah. I am not, I mean, not for nothing, Brady. I'm looking to fade him on a Saturday and Sunday event. I saw what kind of train wreck he is down the stretch there. And here he is, top five. I give him credit. But it would feel like I'm going to search out some matchups for Novak and go the other way. Because come Sunday, if he's in striking position, can't trust him to make a putt, man. Just can't do it.
I would agree with you. And it's going to help him in the long haul, being in the final pairing there with Harris English and building up that scar tissue. He's a tremendous ball striker. That's the strength of his game. He can nail the irons, but you're telling me Andrew Novak standing over a 6-foot putt, you know, with Scottie Scheffler and Rory breathing down his neck? I mean, no. So he's playing even against a tougher field here this week, you know? I mean, all the stars are out here this week. So good for him for putting himself in position, but I'm with you. I looked at him before I came on the show. I said, okay, here's a guy that's flashing again, but no, against this field, I'd probably want like 50-1 rather than 28 where he's trading right now.
I agree. Two other names, kind of they're there, but you know, do they have one of these 64, 65s in them? Colin Morikawa and JT, both at 8 under par here. It feels like they're getting through, but it can they go low tomorrow to put themselves in a spot on Sunday?
Yeah, and the answer is yes, they can go low. You know, both of these guys can really light it up. They just have to get hot. Morikawa struggled a little bit in the back nine on Thursday at Spyglass. He found his game today at Pebble. JT was just absolutely all over the place today, Joe. He goes from round one. In round one on Thursday, Thomas was number one in the field in greens and regulation and number one in the field on strokes gained approach. Today, he was 77th and 74th, almost dead last in both those categories. He chipped in on 18 for eagle to get to 8 under par. So I'm not going to count those guys out, but I really don't want to bet on them at a pretty short price, just for as erratic as they've been, especially Thomas.
And not for nothing, but the AARP on site with Justin Rose again. He just won't go away. Brady, he won't go away. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen, but plenty of golf left to go. Brady Cannon, always a pleasure, my man. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday as we get ready to say goodbye to January of 2025. February right around the corner, a huge slate in college basketball tomorrow as it is the calm before the storm here. We're just a little over a week away from the final NFL game of the season in New Orleans with the Eagles getting ready to take on The Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, a Taylor Swift, it just never ends with the Chiefs. Lot throughout the week to cover when it comes to this big game. But got a couple of big games coming up here tonight. We've got the other three big conferences in. We got little college hoops tonight. We got NBA. We got NHL. And of course, we got our good friend, Mr. Opposite Pick, Scotty Wetzel, in the house here tonight, going to take the baton here coming up top of the hour for a little in-game live. But let's start in college hoops here, because only most everything is off and running. We got two games coming up. Purdue is one of those games, but the other one is the game that you picked here. Marist taking on Siena tonight. What are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, who needs Duke in North Carolina tomorrow, or John Calipari going back to Kentucky, when you could be betting on Marist and Siena, right? What is that you say, Scott? Yep. Marist, they're the class of the MAC, the MAAC, right? The Red Foxes have won 11 of 12. They're in first place. They've dominated everybody. Siena, meanwhile, is 9-11, 4-5 in conference play. They're only 6-2, Joe, on the road against Division I teams. And I got the home team in Marist laying only 5.5. So I don't know. What am I missing here? They're red hot. They're the best team in the conference. So if you needed some college basketball juice tonight, I'm going to lay you off the Purdue game. Give me Marist. The Red Foxes laying 5.5 against Siena. So, and it is a great card tomorrow, right? So that's why I say if you need a little nibble in college basketball. I am curious, Joe, just reading about Pitino telling the Kentucky fans about how they should be cheering Calipari when he returns tomorrow night for the first time. But I was thinking to myself, they were booing him last year when he was the head coach. If they're booing him now when he's not the head coach, poor Calipari can't win for losing. You booed me when I am your head coach. Now you're going to boo me again when I'm not your head coach. But I am curious. That should be a lot of fun tomorrow night with that game.
The number is laughable, Scotty. I mean, the dude was 410-123 from 2009 to 20. 410-123, got a national championship. So so what are you going to do? I'm going to boo the guy as if he was the worst head coach that you've ever gotten. It's just some of these schools, the unrealistic expectations is just unbelievable. And listen, North Carolina is positioning themselves. Listen, can North Carolina go to Duke and win that game tomorrow? Yeah, okay. Do I think they will? Absolutely not. But now Hubert Davis is the problem, Scotty? I mean, that's what we're talking about with these fan bases here.
Joe, they were booing UConn the other night. I had a buddy that went to the game, and he said they're actually booing UConn second half because they juggled against, I think it was Butler or Xavier, one of the two, right? I mean, it's just your two-time defending champs are getting booed on their own home court. It's these fans are just nuts. They're just nuts. They think they should win every single game, every single year. It's amazing. What's next? Kansas City fans booing the Chiefs next season if they lose the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if Bill Self doesn't win the national title, they'll get him out of Kansas. It makes me laugh here. Pretty good card in the association here tonight. And I didn't quite understand this one, but, you know, Toronto, the Raptors, red hot. You know, they've won, what, 5 in a row? But they're healthy, Scott. That's the whole thing, is like we're running out of time to get the value on Toronto before the market adjusts to it. It was 4, 4.5. The Bulls, I don't trust the Bulls on the road. I mean, what are we doing in this game?
Yeah, you got to go Toronto, right? 5 in a row, 7-1, straight up and against the spread. This is their best streak in over 2 seasons, Joe. And I will say this about Toronto. As bad as they were before this streak, they were covering games. They really were. Now, they were monster underdogs, but they were one of the better, you know, against the spread teams in the NBA. Now they've actually won some of these games. They had a back-to-back at Atlanta. They swept that series, so that they're playing good ball. It's only 4, 4.5, depending on where you do your shopping. You said a Bulls 2-7 against the spread their last 9. Every once in a while, Chicago comes up with this performance that looks like they're, you know what, they're finally going to turn things around. And then they'll lay an egg like they did against the Celtics the other day. So give me Toronto at home, laying a small number for sure.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I love that they're healthy, and this is a good team here. Also, not a good team. The Denver Nuggets, as of late, going for a potential fourth straight loss, taking on the, four wins in a row for the Sixers here, getting 9, 9.5. What are we doing in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I can't lay the 9, 9.5, Joe. Yeah, you said they're not playing that good. They lost the other night to the Knicks. I do expect a bounce back effort, but to win by 10 on the road against all of a sudden a decent Philadelphia team, can't do that. Let's go with the over 233.5. If they're on their A game, Denver's a monster over team, 30-17, last 47, 8-4, their last 12. Philadelphia 6-1 over their last 7 at home. So with Philadelphia playing better, they're going to score. Denver playing, in a must win, but in a bounce back spot, right? They don't want to lose 4 in a row. Yep. I think we get to 234. It's a big number. It is, but 125, 115, 125, 110. It's going to get the job done. Someone's going to have to score 120. I think Denver does.
I agree with you. I love that look there. Also, I don't get, why are we betting against Milwaukee coming off a terrible loss against Portland? Now they a team that they've never had any problem beating in San Antonio, and the number is what, 2, Scotty? I don't understand this line either.
Makes no sense, right? Bucks 9-3 against 9-3 straight up. You said off a bad performance. We look for these teams that are in bounce back spots, like the Lakers were last night against Washington. 6-2 against the spread run. Spurs 3-10 against the spread at home. Only 3-8 straight up and against the spread their last 11. And you got Wembanyama crying to the officials. Give me the Bucks. He's not going to get any breaks tonight from the officials.
Yeah. I wouldn't even. Dad, we'll take a look at the team total over as well. We got a couple more games and best bets. We'll go over with Scott. And Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside Scotty Wetzel. He'll be getting ready to take over in-game live coming up top of the hour. Plenty of games on the slate here tonight. We'll finish up the NBA and then get some of your thoughts on the NHL slate here, Scott. And I can't for the life of me figure out the Phoenix Suns, man. I every time I think they're going to get blown out, they win. Every time I think they win, they're going to get blown out. I'm even more clueless with Golden State. So point me in the right direction of this game. What are we looking at?
That's exactly what I was going to say, Joe, about Golden State for me. You know, I bet on them. They lose. I think they're going to get crushed last time out against OKC. They win outright. I bet them the other day against Boston getting 10. They got smothered by 40. I must say, I did watch that game, a decent amount of that game. And Steph was looking – I know he's banged up a little bit. He missed a game, so it looks like he's got a legitimate injury. But, man, he's looking slow. He's looking like a lot, 21 points he had. Yep. He normally gets that in a half. So I'm going to go Phoenix. You're right. The Heckle and Jekyll Suns, man. But they are 8-3 their last 11. Most of that at home, but still, they turn things around here a little bit. We got Devin Booker, who's crying about not being on the All-Star team. So maybe, just maybe, that motivates him for a performance tonight. You may want to play Devin Booker point totals. Golden State's won their last 2, but – well, you look at their starting lineup. It just—I'm still looking for Klay Thompson. There's no Draymond Green. He's out. Yeah. Hurt. Bunch of guys you never heard of before. Buddy Hield's doing nothing for them. So I give me the Suns. I think there's a reason why they're favorites, laying 1.5 on the road.
Yeah, I'm shocked you didn't pick the Celtics and lay the double digits, because that's always a great bet anytime the Celtics are double digit favorites. Yeah. No Zion, by the way. He's been ruled out because in the middle of a 4-game losing streak, why would you want your best player available to you, Scotty? Right? It makes no sense, New Orleans. Jets. Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, very appreciative. Let's talk about NHL here tonight. Nashville, Buffalo was a game that we looked at. Two teams trying to, claw their way up the standings here. What are we thinking in this one? Pretty much a pick 'em price.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to go with the over. I have a general philosophy. No one plays defense on Fridays and Saturdays. So let's go over here. Buffalo 15-6 over their last 21 at home. including 6-1 their last seven. I got Vancouver that's 5-2 over their last seven on the overall as well. So, you know, 7-0, that's generally the number, 6.5. Fun atmosphere. I think we can get a 4-3, 5-3 type of game. So let's go over 6.5 Nashville Buffalo.
Now, all right, let's talk about that Vancouver team on the road again, taking on Dallas here tonight. Lower total, 5.5. Ottinger in goal, Demko. Feels like, first one of two wins, but what do you think we're going to get here?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Dallas owes me too, because I had them with the under against Vegas the other night, and the game went over 4-3. Oh. So let's go under 5.5 here. Series 3-1 under their last four, pretty good. Vancouver 7-4 under their last 11, pretty good. And then we got Dallas 8-3 under their last 11, pretty darn good. And Dallas has allowed the fewest goals in the Western Conference, only 123, which is why they're a strong under team. So hopefully Demko plays. If so, yeah, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 at best. Let's go under.
Why not? I don't hate that at all. And then, of course, that Columbus team, pesky last night to Vegas, and now they got to take on Utah here. So do we trust Utah laying minus 220? Scott, who is Utah to be laying 220 against anybody?
But there you go, Joe. That's exactly it. Talk about strange lines. Now, hockey, you know, whenever you see a goofy line, you generally know the backup goaltender is going to play, right? So let's just say it is the backup goaltender for Columbus. He's actually not too bad. But, I mean, Columbus, they're 9-3 their last 12, Joe. They've had a point in 15 of their last 19 games, including 13 wins. They're 6-2 at Utah/Arizona. And Utah is only 4-13 their last 17 at home, and only 5-13 their last 18 overall. I mean, everything points to Columbus here. And yet, Utah is a 2-1 favorite. I mean, I know this has got sucker written all over it. I know. But give me Columbus plus the 175. I'm going to bite.
Yeah. Sky, I am with you, man. Makes absolutely zero sense here. But I do think opportunity presents itself here tonight. And you're coming up top of the hour. You will follow along with all of these games. No doubt, a couple of live betting opportunities coming your way. We appreciate it as always, Scotty. We'll see you shortly as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. A very happy Friday to you. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. We are off and running in a seven-game NBA slate here tonight. Right now, Pistons trailing the Dallas Mavericks. Klay Thompson coming out firing, 10 points already in the first quarter, as is Cade Cunningham, who will be heading as a starter to the All-Star game coming up, as he was announced. But the Mavericks, boy, they just won't go away here. They are trying to do everything in their power with a little duct tape and Elmer's glue to try and piece together enough wins and enough guys to be able to overcome the loss of Derek Lively for the season. Not to mention, they're hoping to get Luka Doncic back and maybe hold down the fort without Kyrie falling to pieces here. So far, so good here, as there are a couple of games over 500, 26-22. Taking on the Detroit Pistons, whose, well, big man Isaiah Stewart was supposed to have his bobblehead tonight. Well, it is bobblehead night in Detroit for Isaiah Stewart. The problem is he's not there. Why? Because he picked up another flagrant foul last game and the NBA suspended him. How bad is that, where you actually get suspended on your own bobblehead night? You can't even be there. Unbelievable. Leave it to the Detroit Pistons here, who are trailing the Dallas Mavericks here as they are coming to a close in the first quarter. Also, the Hornets giving the Clippers all they can handle right now, 23 apiece there. They too are coming to the end of the first quarter. We are getting ready tip in Toronto, though, as the red hot Toronto Raptors taking on the Chicago Bulls. And then, of course, the Nuggets taking on the 76ers in a game that should also, well, the Nuggets are going through it here. And I guess that should be, I don't know that we should all be surprised. I mean, the Nuggets weren't going to run the table on the entire year. I think the depth issues are always going to be a little concerning here for the Denver Nuggets. The 76ers have all sorts of injuries, and we know this. Who's going to be available for the 76ers? Well, we know Caleb Martin is out. We know Embiid is gone. We know Paul George is not going to be there. So it's Maxey and Eric Gordon have actually done a pretty good job for this team on their four-game winning streak. And the Nuggets, well, I mean, they're trying to get it done here. They've had a really good run early in the season, the champs, but could tonight and the nine and a half points be just a bit too much here? I think if you like the 76ers, I would look to back them early. The Denver Nuggets have been a terrible first half, very slow starting team all year long, and then they usually pick it up in the second half. If the Sixers aren't going to be covering early, they're probably not going to be covering late in this game. So maybe a Sixers early on with a possible jump in for the Nuggets coming up a little bit later. Still a couple of other games coming up top of the hour. Celtics now up to a 12-point favorite, as Zion Williams will not be in the lineup there for the Pelicans tonight. Of course not. Why would he be? But the Celtics, they got a couple of very interesting games coming up here. I believe Cleveland is coming up on tap for them. I do think they've also got Philadelphia coming. But when you look at, I'm only seeing Sam Hauser, even he's active. So not a lot of injury concerns on the Celtics, but no Zion, no Jordan Hawkins, no DeJounte Murray is playing for New Orleans tonight. No Herbert Jones, no Brandon Ingram. Okay, so it's basically DeJounte Murray and CJ McCollum is your only chance at doing. The problem is you can't bet the Celtics double digits. I don't care who they're playing. They cannot be trusted to win by margin in this spot. I am looking forward to the Bucks and the Spurs. This feels like the trap line of the night as the Bucks on the road here, coming off a terrible second half against Portland, in which they ended up losing and getting embarrassed there. However, looking at the injury report, Lillard is a go, AJ Green's a go, Bobby Portis is the only guy that won't be playing for the Bucks, and that is a big loss for them. However, San Antonio, for the most part, looks like they are healthy and will have their full complement. This feels even more so than maybe the Bucks on the side. It feels like a over game. 237 right now is where that total is sitting. I took the Milwaukee Bucks team total over 117 and a half. I do think that has gone up as well, but I can see the Bucks getting into the 120s. In this game all day long. We know San Antonio will not under any circumstances be interested in playing a lick of defense. So I do think an over would not be a bad look in that one here. Also, we've got plenty going on. College hoops, Butler and Georgetown getting ready to start the second half, 37-36. Can Georgetown, I don't know, hold on to a win here? Because it's been rough sledding for them, to say the least. And in a battle of Ohio, I can't even believe it, and we're not talking Ohio State here. We're talking Akron and Kent State. How about Akron as a 3.5-point dog? 31-17. They are boat racing Kent State right now. Yikes. Still the game of the night coming up here between, and I don't know how much of a game this is going to be, with Purdue laying 12 points against Indiana, but this could be the end of the Mike Woodson era in Indiana. If they get blown out at Mackey Arena, yeesh, don't think great things are coming by any stretch there. However, we do have some hockey games that are going to be of note here. And if I understand, I believe our good friend Dave Sharapan has been called to duty, might have to play a little goalie here tonight, I understand, Dave. Is that correct? I think Ottinger needs a backup, and from what I understand, you already have the uniform. You're on your way there to back him up here tonight.
Joe, I stopped blocking shots a long time ago. I ain't putting that goalie equipment on. I never did it before. I'm a right wing by trade. I'll play center. I back check, but I don't block shots. I ain't going in. Although it would be pretty cool to be like the Zamboni guy, where they, you know, you're yes. there and they're like, hey, come out and sit on a bench or wear the equipment, get the uniform. You get to keep it after the game. That would be a deal. I would do that. But man, I don't know, Joe. I would be scared to death. The way these sticks are now, everybody's got almost 100 mile an hour slap shot. The equipment's good. Mm. Joe, I'm afraid, like, if I go down, I don't know if I get back up.
Oh,
it might be one of those, like, listen, ref, blow the whistle, because I don't know if I'm getting back up.
No. I did that 1 year here at the Panther Stadium where – they put me in a fat suit and rolled me out in the middle of the ice on the intermission when I was doing morning radio down here moons ago. And once I got Dave, I couldn't get up. It was like a beached whale, dude. I just kept rolling around. I couldn't get up. It was an absolute mess. I think somebody took a slap shot with me and scored. It was a very embarrassing effort across the board there. But you think you can walk on that ice? Think again, man. That is not that's not an easy thing to do if you're not used to it.
No, strictly with skates for me. You know, yes. See many times people trying, you know, before games to, you know, shuffle out there to do the shot in between periods.
Yes.
Or even seen people fall on the national anthem, getting out there, just take a couple steps off the rubber on the side, stand still, don't move, sing, and get off the ice. So, we'll talk about the games when we come back. But man, there's a lot of good games.
I want to have a race on the ice with you. Game Time Decisions. We'll be back after this here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we're getting ready coming up here in just about 15 minutes. In-game live, we'll take center stage here on the grid as we've got some great NBA games getting ready to start here. A couple of games underway already. We've got some college basketball games of interest getting ready for a huge weekend. And we got some NHL games that are off and running and some pretty good ones, too. We already have three goals. Dave Sharapan, who will join Scotty Wetzel at the top of the hour here for In-Game Live. 2-1 Buffalo on top of Nashville already. We're getting ready for Vancouver and Dallas. So you're wearing the uni, man. And I was just asking you off air. Dallas feels like the pick, except why is this number so low at -106? It feels like it should be a higher number, no?
Vancouver on a three-game winning streak, and I don't want to say like righted themselves because they were a rudderless ship there for a little bit, like just really bad games, a lot of stuff coming out of the locker room, and I think it might be built into the line a little bit. Now, Vegas and Dallas played a couple games back-to-back that looked like the Western Conference Finals. I mean, two games, 4-3, both overtime games, or the overtime game in Vegas. It was the end of the game in Dallas. I don't want to bet against Ottinger tonight. I really don't. I like Dallas to score a minimum of 3 goals, likely more, so maybe a Dallas team total if you're not comfortable laying it. Some people might use them on a puck line, maybe them in regulation, something like that. To cheapen the price or even get you a plus. But yeah, Dallas is definitely one of the best teams in hockey, and Vancouver right now, you may be catching them at the best time if you're taking Vancouver, but I like Dallas, Joe.
You like Dallas in this one here tonight. Interesting. Also, I'm seeing Dallas in regulation, Dave, -105, -110.
Yeah.
I mean, can you take that in the regulation as well as maybe the Utah Hockey Club instead of laying that? Because there's no way we can back Columbus tonight, right? Given the fact that if my number is correct, Columbus is 0-7 in the second of back-to-backs far this year.
And that's built into that line. Yeah. That's a scary
regulation
thought. Now Columbus looked great. They played a great road game last night against Vegas. That stat going to Utah winning, this is a unique thing, right? The first time Utah's been in the league. So the Vegas Utah trip, or the Colorado Utah Vegas trip, the mountain trip that's like the Western Canada swing or the California swing, used to be down to Arizona. Now you catch a team on the back end of a back-to-back in Utah. So, yeah, Utah's the side. The price is not comfortable. It's a very uncomfortable lay. I don't know. Maybe find a way to do it, in regulation. But it's going to be a sweat. Columbus is one of the best teams in the league against the money line, like on the money line. They're literally one of the best. Top three or four, I think. We talked about it today with Carver on the hockey show. The game that's going on right now has the worst team against on the money line and the second worst team on the money line. Nashville's the worst. Buffalo's second. Expect nothing but fireworks in a game. We've got 2-1 so far. The in-game total's 8.5. That's a little high. I think 8 might be the number. The game finishes 5-3. Yeah, I think 5-3 is a bargain. I mean, it's -110. So I think under 8.5 if you need an in-game play.
The late game, I think, it might be some fireworks as well, as you've got St. Louis, who's lost, 3 in a row, taking on Colorado, who is basically, once again, Colorado here. It's been up to, what are we up to now, 6? It feels like we should be able to get some goals in this one. Backup goalie, too, I think, here tonight. So what are we thinking with Colorado?
I don't think you should lay it. I kind of like St. Louis a little bit. Plus money. You catch the Avalanche on a losing streak. Them at home, usually a bet on, but not at that price for me. Right now, I think it's St. Louis. It's going to be close. This isn't one of those 6-1 games. So I think you'll be in it. If you bet St. Louis, they score first. Take a plus on Colorado. Sit back. Enjoy your Friday night. I don't know, Joe. You think the game plays to the over or to the under?
I could see goals here, man. What I mean? I could see us getting, Colorado, I think, can get us what? 4 goals in this one, and St. Louis. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe these teams have not faced each other yet this year. I think it's the first time they've played one another here. But why not? Who's in goal? Binnington? Who's going tonight for them in St. Louis?
Hoffer
and Blackwood.
Right, yeah. Blackwood confirmed. Okay.
So it's and Hoffer. So you've got backup goalies for St. Louis. So I mean, heck, we can get 4 or 5 goals from Colorado. No, wouldn't shock me at all in a 5-2 game.
Yeah, I would think so. I got to ask you about the NBA. The Celtics are playing at the Pelicans,
The
Celtics are 6-25-1 after they cover a spread. They just destroyed Chicago at home. They're going to the Pelicans laying a gigantic number. You can't possibly say you want the Pelicans, do you? I don't only want the Pelicans.
No.
I think I want the points.
I would go team total Celtics up and over in this spot here. I mean, listen, you've got no Zion, you got no Brandon Ingram, so you're basically going to have McCollum, and that's it. And what else? Who else you're going to have to be able to score enough points here? It feels like Boston could run away with this one early and often. I can't. But who wants to lay double digits with a team like Boston, who may just be happy to win by 2 and have to come from behind? It's just the most infuriating team. No, not more infuriating. Then the Phoenix Damn Suns in your backyard. We'll get Dave's thoughts on that late game when Game Time Decisions continues here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we look to wrap up this edition. Dave Sharapan here. He is getting ready. He'll join Scotty Wetzel for In-Game Live. They will have you covered with all the action here tonight. And Dave, I talked to you last night. I forgot to ask you, how did it go with the unveiling of the craziness at the Superbook in Vegas, with the unveiling of the 98 pages of props that came out? And some of them are, I've been going through them all day and I'm laughing at some of the things that that are coming out here. But hey, we got a week to go over and try to figure out the mix and match and have some fun with these prop bets. And there are a ton of them, man.
Yeah, they got creative. that's dinner plans tonight. Like I already said, I'm going to go through after we do the show, you know, hand it off to Marinci and Cam, grab a sandwich and sit down and just kind of go through the fun ones. I love the cross sport stuff. I love those.
I'm with you guys.
Receptions, rushing yards, receiving yards. I mean, those are all kind of cut and dry. And I'll see based on, you know, the group of people that were there last night, you know, they fired away and they made some plays and there was a lot of money spent. And Murray said that, you know, he anticipates it being about 60% of the handle on the Super Bowl will be on the props. That's a lot.
Oh, yes.
Over half then versus the game. Yep. So there's a market for it. But, Joe, to be perfectly honest, the market's changed. Like, a lot of that stuff was out. So I like to look at the stuff that they did unique and then, you know, kind of go from there and see if you can find
it's
any.
It's the fun ones.
Loopholes. Yeah, there's the fun ones. I don't know how much of an edge you're going to have now betting on it with everyone having all the same stuff. So –
right.
We'll see, but
a couple of hockey games that day. I believe there's three NBA games on tap there. There's the Waste Management Open, the golf tournament on it. So there is a lot of cross-sport opportunities to include in there, which I think to me is the fun part of that, is being able to encompass all of it.
And the fun part for them is they involve everybody. So, like, you know, the golf guy has an opinion. Sherman has an opinion about the golf stuff. So it's a good number. And it's it's fun, the back and forth, to try to find one or two that you really want to play and then find a mess of them that you maybe want to play and then think about it all weekend and then maybe go and play it and then come back, think about it some more, go through the papers. I still love the paper, Joe. I still love scrolling all these props on the phones and on the apps. Joe, my eyes hurt. I can't find one. If you don't actually mark it right then and you scroll, you can't find it again. I mean, the menus are okay, but, man, it makes it tough. I like it when they're on the paper.
Yeah, you got to get the pencil behind the ear, man. You know what I mean? You gotta got to go. You're shuffling through. See, that's exactly it. Going old school there. I love it. All right, Dave, get out of here. Scotty Wetzel's already screaming and yelling, and nobody's helping him here as you guys get ready to embark on another night of In-Game Live. And we do have some good ones here, NHL as well as NBA, college basketball. Going on right now. We are getting ready at the top of the hour. Two more NBA games, including the Milwaukee Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs, as well as the Boston Celtics taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, no Zion. That was announced earlier here, but we already watched this game, by the way, just earlier this month. January 8th, we saw the Bucks handle San Antonio 121-105. And now we've got a team in the Bucks who are 2-10, 2-8 rather, in their last 10 And the only one of the only wins they've had recently was the one that they had in Paris when they beat the Indiana Pacers in that first of a back-to-back there. So it's not been great for them. I do think the Bucks coming off a loss provide some value. I am starting to see the line move a little bit. It was as low as 2. I'm starting to see 2.5s now. So maybe a little bit of Milwaukee love hitting the marketplace now. And then, of course, I'm going to go with Phoenix to bounce back here against the Golden State Warriors, who have all sorts of issues here tonight. That'll be your late game. But you don't have to go anywhere. We have got you covered. In Game Live coming up here in just a minute. Game Time Decisions. Well, we'll be back tomorrow here. Enjoy the night. Cash those tickets. We'll see you again soon here on The Grid.